Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
See, that mute button got me again. It is good that you're here. I love videos, and I hate videos because videos kind of tip my hand as to what I'm going to be speaking on, sort of thing. But I'm thankful to God for the many things that he has done and kind of has been going along with what Maria is saying. It certainly has been a challenge sometimes as we go through COVID-19 and we begin to deal with things that perhaps we haven't. And it's that time where we take that inventory. And I know for myself, I've just been challenging myself to do better, to live better, to actually live out what the Word of God tells me to do. And while the pandemic has been on, we had Wednesday services, and I just thought the fruit of the Spirit is the best thing to speak up, okay? Because it talks about character and the Holy Spirit working through us. But what I did is I began to ask myself a question. That if I daily strive to do better, if God's continually working on my heart to change my thoughts, my attitudes, my actions, so that I become more like him, if I do it in my personal life, and if God is working at that level in my life, could it also be true that God works in churches the same way? Does God work to change an attitude of a church? Can God change collectively an attitude of a church? Can it turn a bad trait that is known in a church to a good trait? Can a church which has in the past been selfish all of a sudden turn to be a church of generosity? Can a church which is critical normally be changed into a church which is encouraging in some way? And I say that the word is yes, you can. But it takes the core of the people to say, you know what, we've got to change. We need to do everything we can as a congregation that seeks to reach out and make a difference in people's lives. And as we take a look at ourselves, we realize that we need to change. It basically is what is called the changing of a culture. That's kind of a key terminology now in leadership development and in businesses. They say we need to change the culture of our business. But I believe that God is changing the culture of a church, just as he changes the culture of our lives, because we want to be effective for him. And I got a series that I want to do in the new year, and it's going to be called Creating a Culture of Change. But what I've done is I've kind of dipped into that, and I wanted to talk about that. This is kind of, maybe I'll reformat this and repackage this subject matter in the new year as well. But I just felt obligated in the Spirit of God to talk about creating a culture of gratitude. Is it possible to create a culture of gratitude? And gratitude is not just important, it is crucial. You will either operate through grumbling or you will operate through gratitude. And if you thought that COVID-19 pandemic spreads quickly, just wait till you see a spirit of ungratefulness. It spreads like wildfire in a church. It spreads like wildfire in a community. And in this community, I find that people are just grumpy. Have you found that people are grumpy? Like last week, I dropped my daughter off. She's a hairdresser, and she was at the mall. I dropped her off, and while I was there, I saw someone that I knew, and I complimented them on their mustache. And they started yelling at me right in the middle of the mall. Okay, like she was furious with me. I can't understand people. Not really. Hey, if you have your phones, you're allowed to take them out at this time, or maybe you just have a sheet of paper. And for those of you who have your phones, maybe you have a notation on it. It's called notes. And if you want to, create a notepad and put at the top of that notepad gratitude. And what I've done is I've kind of ask the Holy Spirit to prompt us about the things that we are truly grateful for. And so, as I preach this sermon, I have asked the Holy Spirit to bring things to our mind that we are grateful for. For those of you who are not multitaskers, then maybe you can kind of do this when you get home. I'm not too sure. But just kind of felt impressed to do that. If there was like a gratitude scale, you know, one of those kind of things where there's an arrow, you know, from 1 to 10 or whatever, and on the one end of the scale is grumbling or ungratefulness, and on the other end of the schedule there was total gratefulness, okay? And if we hooked that scale up to you, what would that scale read? What end of the spectrum would you be? And I'm wondering if for many of us, as we look at this, and this is what I asked, and I said to myself, I think that I probably would be somewhere in the middle. But let me just tell you this. Being in the middle is perhaps the worst place that you can be. Being in the middle of that scale is the worst. I'll get into that a little bit later, but it is true. And I've come to find that the times that we are least willing to talk about gratitude are probably the best times to bring it up. So why be grateful? How do I convince you? How do I sit down with you if I'm talking and you're trying to say, you just give me one good reason? Well, I can give you a number of good reasons to be grateful. It changes our focus towards God. If you're grateful, basically you are thinking about how God has blessed you. It allows you to see the full picture. Even in the bleakest times, you can see things as God sees them. And so therefore, gratitude challenges our perspective. It causes us to see things differently. It makes us think and concentrate on those things that are important. It causes us to focus on the fortunate things that are in our life. Thus, it allows us to get out of the rut or the habit or the lifestyle of pessimism. It re-engages optimism in your life. Hey, have you lost your optimism? Is it something that has kind of gone to the wayside in these last few months? Basically, what gratitude will do is it will encourage contentment, the contentment of God in our lives. It expands our heart. If you have a gracious heart or a heart of gratitude, it opens you up to all that God has for us. If you'd have an ungrateful heart, what it does is it causes you to close off and only see things in your own small little world. It's important to be grateful. It is of crucialness to be grateful. It focuses and refocuses on the goodness of God. It acknowledges the kindness of God. It provides hope to go on. Now, for those of you who've kind of been in the walk for a number of years, I know that this is probably true because it's true of me. There have been seasons in my life where I've kind of walked in the faith without gratitude. I have been ungrateful. And there are also times in my life where I have had seasons of incredible gratefulness, understanding what God has done in my life. And if I look at the one, and if I look at the other, I would choose the pathway of gratefulness every single time. And I would think that it would be the same of you. Because when you are ungrateful, you just become a different person. Gratefulness jumpstarts worship. It makes you more readily desirous to worship the Lord. It catches the attention of God. It makes you cognizant that God is at work. You actually have to examine your life. You mentally catalog God's work. We need to be gracious. We need to have gratitude. In every situation, you will choose to be grateful or not. But the thing is, the problem, the challenge of this whole thing with gratefulness is that usually the default is not gratefulness, is it? And so sometimes it is a difficult time. Sometimes we have forgotten to express gratitude. When bad happens, then all of a sudden we'll acknowledge that. But all of a sudden, if things go well for us, sometimes we don't even express gratitude. And so this is important. And this is why it's the worst thing to be in the middle of the scale. Because a person who is grateful remembers what God has done. And a person who is ungrateful remembers what God has not done. But a person who is in the middle, a person who is non-grateful, forgets. And the greatest enemy of the church is forgetfulness. You forget what God has done. And somehow we think that if we're non-grateful, then that basically means that we're not ungrateful. And we're somehow okay. But I think that God needs to convict our hearts about being non-grateful in our lives. It is a discipline that needs to be developed. Either that, or you need to lose everything. Because it's only when you lose everything that you all of a sudden begin to appreciate all the stuff that you have. Isn't it true? It's important to be grateful. It's important for a church to be grateful. God blesses a church that is grateful. When a congregation embraces a culture of gratefulness, they become appealing. They become happier. Ever heard of a pastor-eating church? A pastor-eating church? Yeah. Well, a pastor-eating church is a church that over the last 20 years has had 15 new pastors. And they do exist, mind you. So what is it makes a pastor-eating church a pastor-eating church? Well, you would think that most pastors, and I'll tell you this, there have been many, many pastors that are far better than me who have gone by the wayside and have decided to go into other work. The best pastors sometimes are not the ones who are in ministry the longest. The ones who are in ministry the longest are the ones who have the thickest skin somehow. But there have been some people who I have seen who have had anointings on their lives, the ability to preach and lead people to Jesus, and they just leave. Because the number one cause of fatalities in ministry is death by 1,000 cuts. It's not the one big thing. It's 1,000 small things. And after a while, the pastor begins to say, well, this is kind of the way people think. And many times, they don't think that way. I just don't have anything to do with it. The importance of a church being grateful. Because a grateful church is optimistic, they're encouraging, they're willing to take steps of faith because they are cognizant of the fact that God has moved before. And when you're looking to be grateful, you see the hand of God. And when you take steps of faith, it instills confidence because you have remembered what God has done in the past. Does that make sense to you? So it's important to cultivate gratitude. It's important to be purposeful, to take every opportunity to be grateful, to reinforce it in our lives. It is something which I think is of ultimate importance. And when a person or a church continually is grateful, it eventually changes their demeanor. It changes their attitude. And thus we get the statement, you need to have the attitude of gratitude. It's true. And you take a look and you see the fact that throughout the Old Testament, God created weeks and ceremonies and feasts dealing with gratitude. One of the most influential books in my life was called The Hour That Changes the World. It's by Dick Eastman. It's about 25, 26 years old. And what Dick Eastman did in his book, The Hour That Changes the World, is he divides prayer into 12 different things. It starts with worship, it ends with worship, but then it talks about petition, and it talks about times of silence and meditation. Number 8 is thankfulness. Every prayer life needs to consist of this thing called thankfulness. It's called the act of expressed appreciation. And so what happens is it becomes part of us, and a lot of people say, well, isn't thankfulness the same as worship? Well, yes and no. It may jumpstart worship, but in essence, worship basically focuses on who God is, whereas thankfulness focuses on what God has done in our lives. It is basically a confession of blessings. So give me a couple minutes here. Let me tell you why you need to be grateful. Let me express in the best way that I possibly can to convince you or to convince us that this is among the most important thing for you to do as a believer and follower of Christ. I think that we need to be grateful because, first of all, it is scriptural. So many times in scripture, it talks about being thankful. Perhaps the key one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And let me just tell you before I read this passage of scripture, that Paul is talking to a persecuted church who have lost people to martyrdom, that people have lost their jobs, that things were not going well at this particular time. And as he is ending his book of the Thessalonians in chapter 5, he says this, in everything give thanks, For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Basically, what it is talking about is the fact that it is not just something which is optional. It is something which is absolutely necessary in our lives. Somebody tried to steal my notes. I was confused. Did you see the confusion in my eyes there? Yeah, funny. God is good. But not only is it in Thessalonians, you'll hear it as well. Throughout Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20 says, make music in your hearts of the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks. Colossians says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, with overflowing with thanksgiving. It says in the King James Version, abounding in thanksgiving. So not only is it not optional, it's not occasional. It's something that we continually have to do. You take a look at the times in the scriptures. If you want to look at something interesting as you read the Gospels, mark down every time Jesus, as he is praying, is thankful. You see, Psalms chapter 103.2, basically 103 verse 2 says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives your sins and heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That page just wants to get away from me somehow in some reason. Not only is it not just occasional, it's never ever overlooked. If you take a look at the scriptures, they talk about spiritual blessings, and they talk about material blessings, and they talk about physical blessings, and they talk about the things that we take for granted, talk about future blessings, they talk about past blessings, they talk about everyday blessings. It is scriptural to bless the Lord. And I'm not even talking about the Old Testament times where they had a Thanksgiving offering, and they had a number of things that they did to express their gratitude towards the Lord. It is scriptural. But not only is it scriptural, it is what I'll call statistical. I'm not even too sure if statistical is a word. Is that a word, statistical? Well, it is today. We'll add it onto the Scrabble board or whatever way you want to look at it. But it's statistical. Throughout our lives, we have known that gratefulness is something. The Word of God obviously says that it is, but science is catching up. That there are a number of things over the last 10 years even where they have shown studies that have shown the advantage and the importance of being grateful. One which is done in November of 2010 in the Wall Street Journal. Basically, it talked about the benefits of being grateful. It said, adults who frequently feel grateful have more energy, have more optimism, more social connections, more happiness than those who do not, according to the studies conducted over the past decade. They're also less likely to be depressed, envious, greedy, or alcoholics. They earn more money, sleep more soundly, exercise more regularly, have regular resistance to viral infections. Now researchers are finding that gratitude has similar benefits to children and adolescents. The studies show that children who feel and act grateful tend to be less materialistic, get better grades, set higher goals, complain of fewer headaches and stomach aches, and feel more satisfied with their friends, families, and school than those who don't. You find that interesting? They had a similar study a couple of years later in the University of San Diego School of Medicine. They found out that those people who actively pursued gratefulness had better health rate, had specifically less inflammation and healthier heart rhythms. They showed a better well-being and a less depressed mood, less fatigue. They had better sleep, as I said before. Basically, gratitude has the opposite effect of stress. Another study found that gratitude can boost your immune system. And in another study, people found that those people who keep a gratitude journal have reduced dietary fat intake as much as 25% lower. And stress hormones like cortisol are 23% lower in grateful people. They also talked about the daily gratitude practice actually reduced the effects of aging to the brain. Did you find this to be an incredible study? They just found out recently that there is a direct correlation between gratitude and impatience. Well, let's just not go there. I'll just say that. I won't tell you the statistic because sometimes that's something that shows up in my life. Is there a correlation between my level of gratefulness and the amount of patience that I have? Maybe the most impressive statistic was that they did a study of 468 married individuals on relationship satisfaction. They covered everything from communication habits to finances, and they found that the most consistent, significant predictor of happy marriages was whether one person's spouse expressed gratitude. Really? Yes, that and the fact that they both agreed that the toilet paper should go over the top rather than under. Those two things. It was in the internet, it's true. No, not really. What they basically talked about was the fact that couples, if they're in a strong relationship, have those times where they feel appreciated by their spouse. That it's something which is powerful. It makes me ask, what would happen if I tried? You know, don't just go home and say to your spouse, you know, I'm really thankful. In another 10 years, I'll tell you the same thing. You know? But I find daily expressed gratitude will slowly change our lives. If we count our blessings. Remember that term? Those of you who kind of are a little bit more mature in the faith, without saying you're old or anything. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. It's true. So, it is scriptural. It is statistical. And it is stupid not to be grateful. Let me just tell you that. Let me just be frank. You're losing out if you're not grateful because there is a life blessing in it. That God blesses grateful people. The opposite is true of ungratefulness. If you take a look at Old Testament stories where people began to grumble against God, then something ended up taking place. God hates ungratefulness. You ever have your kids come into the house after you've done something absolutely wonderful and perhaps bought them a great gift for Christmas, and all of a sudden they say, I don't know. I don't like it. Could you not have gotten me the better one? Could you not have gotten me the red one? Could you not have, I don't want it. I hate it. Well, how do you feel as a parent? How do you think God feels when we don't express gratitude in the way? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, they talk about those people in the end times. One of the things that they say is, they'll be ungrateful. To be ungrateful leads to an empty, miserable, closed-off life and road. I think the real challenge to those of us that find ourselves in the middle of the scale is to get ourselves to convince ourselves that it is better to be on one end of the spectrum or the other because at least we're remembering something. We can't forget. It's not a matter of being ungrateful. It's the fact that our non-gratefulness somehow affects us. For every day to be grateful, to be a part of the devotional life, to say, God, I'm so thankful. To get up every morning and say, God, there's something to be thankful for, even if you're in the midst of the hardest time that you're going through. Because there is a blessing, a life blessing, but there's also a lifeline. It's the fact that there is health, and the statistics have kind of shown that. You know, one of the most quoted passages of scripture is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. You know that one where it says, don't be anxious or fearful for anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's something about the fact when the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, that something takes place, that God is allowed to show his presence through this avenue of thankfulness. In crisis, in anxiety, in tragedy, in isolation, in mourning, you can be thankful. There's an article by GQ magazine as they were talking about Stephen Colbert, a person who was a late night talk show host. And as they interviewed them, they talked about the fact that when he was 10 years old, he lost his father and two brothers in a plane crash. And all it was him and his mom. And they said, how did you get through those times and still get to the heights that you have as an individual? And I don't remember all the things that they talked about in the article, but one of the things that stuck out was the fact that his mom had a very strong faith. He said, you know, my mom was broken, but even in her brokenness, she was never totally bitter. That somehow, in the midst of the tragedy, she found a way to be thankful. It rubbed off, and I'm the person that I am when I think of the way my mom lived and presented themselves and got me to thinking. If I'm ungrateful, or if I'm non-grateful, what are the chances of my children being ungrateful or non-grateful? There's a lifeline in gratitude, but there is a life source. As a Christian, you have absolutely every reason to be grateful. There is something different about spiritual gratefulness. It's like you lose your right to be ungrateful. It's almost like that oxymoron, you know. You can't really be a Christian and unforgiving, because Christ forgave us so much that you can't really be an unforgiving person yourself. The two just don't mix together. Is it the same thing with gratitude? Is there such a thing as an ungrateful Christian? Is it even possible to say? Gratitude is a natural response to salvation. It does not require coercion or encouragement to the extent that the individual understands what has happened. Gratitude will naturally flow organically and abundantly from the heart. Look what happened. Let me put it to you this way. Say you're on an ocean liner, having a wonderful time on holidays. Wave to me if you've been on an ocean liner, you kind of went on a cruise. Those are kind of nice. You find in the middle of the cruise, the water gets really dark. You're kind of in like 600 feet of water. It gets kind of dark there. And somehow, what takes place is that the shift in the boat happens and you fall over the edge into the water, flailing around, and at that time you realize that really you can't swim. And so you do everything that you possibly can to get yourself up, to keep your head above water, and you're flailing and you're slowly going down and you're taking in water, and you just think it is the end. But all of a sudden, someone on the ship sees what has taken place, and in some miraculous way, a wonderful way, they take the life preserver and they throw it as far as they can, and it lands right beside you. And you see it there and you just grasp at it and you're holding on to the lifesaver and you're just almost dying, and people are pulling you in and you're pulling and you're pulling. And you can hardly breathe, and they pull you and lift you on the ship. And then what you end up doing there is you start throwing up all the salt water that's there. And every single muscle in your body is sore because you've wasted all of your energy trying to stay above water, and you can hardly move, and you begin to pant and you begin to breathe, and a crowd gathers around you. And he said, and people around you are surrounding, making sure you're doing well, and you just, you get down as they're revived, and you say, did you see that? Did you see how I grabbed onto that life preserver? Did you see the definition in my arm? Boom! The beach is that way. And I hung on like a trooper. I was all of that. Can you believe this? What do you think the people would say? They say you're absolutely crazy. You know what? You'd be more apt to say, who's the guy who threw the life preserver? I'm so thankful. My family is so thankful. You wouldn't be talking about your participation in the attempt. You would just be so thankful because you were saved. You were saved. And the thing is, with salvation like that, you don't sit there and say, well, okay, well, you know, I deserved it. Because whenever you think you deserve it, you'll never be thankful because you'll always feel entitled. But one of the greatest attributes of thankfulness, and I haven't mentioned, is that of humility. I am who I am because God has done something wonderful in my life. And I'm not too sure in a crowd this size what you're going through. Everything might be going well, but maybe you are carrying some huge burden or you have faced some burden. You're not too sure what to do. Well, in the process of that, I'm going to tell you there's a God who loves you. There's a God who saved you. There's a God who paid the ultimate price for you. You don't have to leave this place without hope. And I'll tell you one thing, there's always going to be something that you are thankful for. God, I pray that you minister to each and every heart, each and every life. Do a powerful thing. Lord, I pray for those people who have had that list out and were jotting down things that they're grateful for. I'm praying, Holy Spirit, that you will have enlightened them, that we take them and we look over them and we leave this place saying, God, help me to be grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at BethelBrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.